There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. Here on 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL, I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson as we get set for a brand new week. It's been about a month since we've had Travis in the studio, but there's plenty to talk about and on both the national and the local front. We got to talk a lot of local today. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive as we get set for a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson, and plenty to talk about on this edition of the show. First off, it's been like a month since Travis has joined us on air, so it's great to get him back on. Today, we're going to talk local in regards to high school football. Now that the spring sports season is over with, and we'll give you the recap on that in just a moment, we'll start focusing on fall sports as we get set for the off season. So, set to join us in studio today, we'll talk to Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbondino football team. We'll also give you a recap of the NASCAR All-Star Race this past Saturday on KOAL. So a lot to get to in that regard. We'll start by talking about the NBA. And finally, we had a game that's worthy of attention in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference as far as the conference finals go. The Boston Celtics topping the Cleveland Cavaliers 111-108 last night. It was a back-and-forth affair late in the contest. Boston really fighting through some adversity, overcoming not having their stud and Isaiah Thomas in this contest. Now, Travis, I know that it's 2-1. Cleveland still has the lead. But do you take Boston a little bit more serious after Game 3, or is the series still over in 5?
I still think it's over in 5, but at least we got a competitive game out of that last night. I mean, the conference finals have been a little boring, to say the least, with Kawhi out for San Antonio and the Warriors running through them. So last night, finally, the second half turnaround by the Celtics, and what an epic meltdown that was in Cleveland. The Cavs simply cannot lose a game like that at home in the playoffs.
No, I mean, again, they're up 11 at the end of the first quarter. Okay, then they're up, 17 at halftime. And then Boston outscores them by 11 in the third. They outscore them by 8 in the fourth. Here's the final call. And again, Avery Bradley's shot bounced all around the rim before it finally dropped.
Inbound into the hands of Smart. 8, 7, 6 seconds to go in a tie game. Smart against LeBron. Left side. Avery open. 3. Kicks in. With 1/10 of a second remaining. It hit every corner of the cylinder.
It really did. I mean, that ball bounced all the way around. If you were watching that game live, you wondered if it was actually going to drop. It looked like it was short, then it looked like it was long, and then it looked like it was going to bounce off to the side. So the story is, of course, Boston gets a win, and if you watched it, you understand that it took a brilliant effort from Marcus Smart for Boston to get this victory. He was 8 of 14 from the field. 7 of those 8 makes came from beyond the three-point line. I don't know how often you can rely on that. LeBron James, on the flip side, was not good. LeBron was just 4 of 13, played 45 minutes of this game, scored just 11 points, had 6 turnovers in this contest, and finished with 6 boards. So it was really a bad game for LeBron James, to say the least. Now, while I have always given LeBron credit for the greatness that he displays on the court, LeBron's a poor sport. No other way to describe this guy.
He is salty.
He's a poor sport. Last night, he goes after Kenny Rota. He's a Cleveland Cavalier reporter. Well, a Cleveland, let me rephrase that. He's a Cleveland radio talk show host. And he asked LeBron James a very fair question.
Very good question.
It was a good question. It was a fair question. And LeBron goes off. I don't want to say he goes off, but he kind of takes a shot at Kenny. If you missed this last night, here's the question and LeBron's response.
You know, it was just your game. Couldn't get into a rhythm tonight. Is that what it was based on their defense or just not feeling it or what?
No, I was just pretty poor. I mean, what do you want me to say? Seemed like you only answer. You only ask questions when we lose. It's a weird thing with you, Kenny. Always come around when we lose, I swear. Yeah, okay.
There's no need for that.
Oh.
No need for that at all. And again, it's one of the many problems that I have with LeBron James. I respect him as a player. I think he's a fantastic... He's one of the top seven basketball players of all time, in my opinion. That kind of stuff right there is why I just don't care for the guy. Now, he also got into it with a heckler after the game. And again, this is the difference between... Everybody wants to make comparisons. LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, Magic, Bird. Everybody wants to compare. I don't ever remember a story breaking of Kobe or Jordan getting into it with a fan post-game.
During a conference finals.
Never.
Yeah,
I don't ever recall a story like this. LeBron got mad at a heckling fan. He actually asked the guy what he has done, what he's accomplished. And again, it goes back to the year that they lost in Miami when he said, you know, everyone's going to go back to their problems tomorrow. Yeah, we lost, but tomorrow you're gonna go back to your problems. I love it. The fan, and I don't even know why we're talking about this, but the fan yelled back at him, I played at Hiram College. Do you know what Hiram College is? They're a D3 college. But the fan was removed for apparently heckling LeBron James. So the entitlement is there. He is a little bit salty. They lost a game in which they probably should have won. Even with that being said, LeBron goes 4 of 13. Marcus Smart goes off, hits 7 3-point shots, and Boston wins by 3. That's not going to continue in this series.
No, Cleveland in the next game will probably win by 30. LeBron will be a different guy. He'll come out, he'll probably score 30, and all this will be washed away. But as of right now, LeBron's frustrated, and you can see that boiled over in the press conference.
They were favored in Vegas by 16.5 last night. We're talking about the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, largest, spread for a conference finals for a one seed ever?
Ever. They were underdogs. The one seed, they were underdogs by 16.5. Tonight, we get game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Could be the funeral for the San Antonio Spurs. And I feel bad for San Antonio again. No Kawhi Leonard, no Tony Parker. The injuries have mounted up. Golden State's an 11.5-point favorite in this contest as they get set to potentially move on to the NBA championship, which would be for the third consecutive year for the Warriors. And then we just prolong the inevitable. I still believe in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland, Golden State, it's going to shape up that way. Let's move over to Major League Baseball. As far as scores in day baseball go today, we didn't have any day baseball. But we do have a wide slate of games beginning at 5:05. We get Minnesota at Baltimore. Ubaldo Jimenez will be on the mound for the Orioles. The Royals and the Yankees will go at it at 5:05. The Rockies travel to take on Philadelphia. Again, the Rockies still out in front in the NL West. We get the Indians and the Reds. The Indians right now at 23-19. They played well away from home at 15-9. The Angels and the Rays will do battle at 5:10. We get the Pirates and the Braves. And we get the Giants and the Cubs at 6:05. John Lackey is on the mound for the struggling Cubs, who are just 11-10 at Wrigley Field so far this season. The Tigers and the Astros will battle at 6:10. And then at 7:40, the nightcap, it's the White Sox and the Diamondbacks. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll give you a quick recap on everything happening on the local sports front. And again, Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dinos will join us. And it's Monday, so we'll give you the NASCAR update. It's all straight ahead here on this edition of Drive Time Sports.
How do you define RV? Well, at Desert View Federal Credit Union, we define it as relaxing vacation. And we're here to help you get started on that rest relaxation quicker than you think with a low-interest RV loan. At Desert View Federal Credit Union, we make the process quick and easy so you can start enjoying your summer weekends in the RV of your dreams. No matter how you define it, Desert View Federal Credit Union is here to help you finance it. Come in and get pre-approved today at your local branch in Huntington or Farron.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Many people believe baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter very much. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience for children. Call today and get your child on the road to good dental health. For appointments, call 637-9590.
You want to retire someday, but banking on the market to fund your retirement can be risky. Farm Bureau agents Richard Hackwell and Billy Vigor in Price can help you lock in solid gains and never lose money. Make sure the market doesn't break your bank. Call Farm Bureau agents Richard Hackwell and Billy Vigor today and protect yourself from downside risk. Surrender of the contract may be subject to surrender charges. Withdrawals before age 59 and a half may result in 10% IRS penalty tax. Additionally, there's a charge for the Simple 7 Income Rider once it's activated. Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The spring high school sports season officially came to a close on Saturday, and we'll recap by starting with the 3A baseball championship tournament. The Carbon Dinos were actually eliminated late Thursday night as they suffered a 14-5 loss to Juan Diego. The loss comes following wins over Stansbury and Morgan to get Carbon into position to compete for a state championship. Juan Diego later on defeated Pineview before their season came to an end with a loss to Snow Canyon. The state championship was actually decided by Snow Canyon and Dixie, two teams from Region 9. Dixie was the number one seed, Snow Canyon the number four seed, and Dixie won the state championship with a walk-off home run to claim another 3A title. The 3A state high school championship was also decided for softball this past weekend, and the Carbon Lady Dino season came to an end early Friday morning as they suffered a 7-3 loss to Stansbury. Stansbury was the number three seed from Region 10. Their season came to an end the very next round as they suffered a loss to Tooele. For the state tournament, Carbon actually won two consecutive elimination contests. They knocked off Logan and then defeated Desert Hills by one. The state championship was decided between Grantsville and Bear River. Grantsville, the number one seed from Region 10, clinched a state championship. Like baseball, we will continue to wrap up the 2017 season for softball throughout the week right here on Castle Country Radio. Stay tuned. We'll have more in the coming days. We move over to track and field, and their season actually ended Saturday as well at Provo at BYU. In the Carbon Lady Dinos track and field squad, who had a very successful 2017 season, finished 7th overall as they accumulated 28 points, falling just 4 behind fellow region opponent Richfield. On the boys' side of the track, Carbon finished in last out of 22 teams. They scored just 3 points. For the Emory Spartans, the boys team, who finished second in region, racked up a 5th place finish as they scored 49 points. On the girls' side of the track, they finished just outside of the top 10 with a 13th place finish, scoring 13 points. They finished 8 points behind Beaver, who finished in 10th. On the 2A circuit, the North Summit girls squad claimed the state championship, and Delta grabbed the state title for the boys. At the 3A classification, it was Desert Hills on the boys' side of the track, and on the girls' side, they scored a combined 295 points for the weekend. With the high school sports season now complete, we'll focus heavily on the Price and Helper American Legion baseball seasons. And while Price has already begun their tryouts, Helper will kick things off today. Tryouts will run for 2 days, beginning at 6 p.m. on both nights. This is the second year of the Price Helper baseball squad following a brief hiatus in 2015. Carbon High School manager Jeff Cincinnatus will once again coach the Helper squad, which total has been around for about 55 years. The league will officially begin play on June 2nd at home, which puts a strict timeline on the team's activities leading up to the season. Typically, the Legion team consists of kids who are seasoned baseball players and have adequate high school experience. For that reason, Cincinnatus will also field a team in Utah's Perfect Game League, which will be made up of incoming freshmen and sophomores. Helper will also play host to the opening round of the state championship tournament this year for the Legion season. The top 8 of the 9 teams in the Southern Division will play in the tournament that will take place again in Helper. The top 4 teams will advance to the state championship bracket. For more information on the Helper American Legion baseball season, you are welcome to contact Coach Cincinnatus at 820-8379. And today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll be joined by Carbon Dino football coach Josh Huntsman. Now that the spring sports season is complete, focus will really ramp up on summer workouts for the football program. Coach Huntsman will join us to put together a timeline. For more information on local sports or local news, make sure you visit CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Remember growing up and spending those summer days at the park? Summer picnics were always accompanied with some juicy chicken from KFC. At KFC, the Colonel's secret recipe is still going strong, and their $20 fill-up meal has got your picnic covered. That's right, just $20 will feed your family well with 8 pieces of chicken, a large coleslaw, 2 large bowls of mashed potatoes and gravy, and 4 biscuits. Grab your kids a blanket and a $20 fill-up meal and let the summer picnic tradition continue with the help of KFC.
In 1981, Drew Leroy opened the original 3,000-square-foot food ranch. Today, Food Ranch has grown to over 21,000 square feet, along with a full hot deli, bakery, meat shop, and racquetball court. But the area Drew is most proud of is the Spartan's Den. This is where the kids from Emory High can hang out and have lunch or just sit and talk. This just reinforces Drew's commitment to the families of Emory County. Food Ranch would like to thank you for your continued support for years to come.
Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's Pizza.
Huh?
You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's, located at 170 West, 100 North.
You watch the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Brand new week of the show. We're going to start off by talking some football this week. Spring sports season for high school, it's finished. We'll be recapping that throughout the week. But also, we start transitioning into fall sports. It never stops with a high school season. And to start gearing up for fall, you have off-season workouts and a bunch of other events. Joining us right now to talk a bit about the off-season for fall sports, we have Carbon Dino football coach Josh Huntsman. Coach, been a while, but it's always fun to talk some football.
It has been, and I'm excited to get football going again.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the off-season workouts go, you guys have been at it as far as morning workouts and strength and conditioning. That pretty much starts up after February, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, we brought our kids in a little bit early. We've been working with them since about December, but, you know, it hasn't been mandatory. It's been come in when you can, and we'll work with you. But, yeah, once February hit, we were into it pretty hot and heavy in the weight room.
Now, this is going to be your third year.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing how fast time actually flies. So with it being your third year, have you noticed a change in not only the strength and conditioning program itself, but maybe the attitude of the kids in regard to the football program going into your third off season?
We have about 10 really dedicated kids in the weight room that have, you know, just said, you know, we're going to be stronger than you, we're going to be tougher than you, and we're going to do what we can to win here. And so that's been you know, a huge difference from year one and year two.
Which is definitely good. You're seeing growth.
We are seeing a lot of growth. You know, we're short in numbers still, but the kids that we have are very talented kids right now.
You may be short in numbers, but I think when looking at developing a program, you really have to pay attention to the younger ages. And I know you've had a hand in youth programs as well. That was a big emphasis. You and I had talked about that. That was something you were going to put a lot of emphasis on. So as far as the younger kids here in the community, what type of attitude have you seen from these kids?
You know, I like the two groups that are going to be coming up, the two groups that will be freshmen, both at Mont Harmon and both at Helper. Coach Howard did a great job with his kids over at Helper and you know, quite a few talented offensive linemen, defensive linemen. Coach Justice has done a great job over at Mont Harmon, and he's got quite a few good skill kids. There are some good skill kids from Helper as well. And, you know, getting those two combined with each other, I think that can give us a very good team. I think, you know, you're going to see some good things here in the near future from Carbon football.
You know, it's kind of difficult. I know you're a competitive guy. You like to win. But I'm sure you knew going into it, it's not a 2 or 3 year plan. I mean, it's a 10-year plan to get a program turned around, especially in the 3A classification, which is very difficult.
You know, it definitely is. And you know, we just need consistency. We need to have good kids coming out on a consistent basis. We need to not change the offense constantly. We need to keep running the same stuff. We need to keep running the same defense. And if we can trickle that down into the youth groups, having our fifth graders, sixth, seventh, eighth, our two junior highs running similar stuff to what we're running, it's going to benefit us. You know, at the high school level, yeah, that's selfish, but, you know, the great programs are built from the fifth grade up.
You talk about consistency, and I know it starts with the coaching staff, and you've actually been able to establish some sort of consistency now going into your third year.
Yeah, we have pretty much the same coaches that we've had the last couple of years. We've shuffled the coaches around a little bit. We're going to move Frankie Tapia down to coach that freshman group. He's worked a lot with those younger kids in the wrestling program that we've had, and so they know him. He's consistent. They like him. And then we'll move Joe Rhodes to the JV group, and he'll be the head coach there. And we've brought in a new defensive coordinator this year who's going to be taking a teaching position there at the high school by the name of Taylor Brower. He's coming from South Sevier, so we're looking forward to that. You know, just having a consistent staff is going to be helpful to our program as well.
I'm sure it's helpful to you, especially in the off season as well.
Yeah, Coach Brower has done a good job. He and I, you know, have spent a lot of time texting each other, going over things, going through huddle files, going through stuff like that, that, you know, breaking down offenses from other teams. We, you know, we've worked pretty well with each other over the last couple of months.
You're so knowledgeable on the game, and you're a student of it. So do you dig the off season? Do you like going over tape constantly and kind of nitpicking at things that happened this
you know,
season?
Yeah, I do. And when I break down one of our films, I'll break down someone else as well. So I'll pull up a huddle clip from a team in New York or a team in California, a team in Arizona. I've been watching a lot of different film and saying, oh man, we could do well with that. We could do well with this. And, you know, just watching teams that are consistently, you know, perennial powerhouses, watching those teams and how they function and how their coaching staffs function, we've sat down and looked over a few things like that. And we're going to steal some things from other schools that we see as successful.
I guess I got to be careful with the wording here, but as a high school coach, you do have to recruit within your own county. I mean, that's part of the job as well.
It definitely is. There's a lot of good things that are going on within the county, and you do have to compete with some of the other club sports and things like that. And so walking down the hall, I'm always offering kids jerseys. That's something that kids will – it might get old to them, but it never gets old to me. If I see a kid in a PE class who's you know, a phenomenal soccer player, but, you know, they've done something that impresses me, I'll say, hey, I've got a jersey with your number. If you want it, and you know, I'll continually do that. I'll recruit boys, girls. It doesn't matter. If you can play football, I'm gonna put you out there.
There's no shortage of numbers for the football team. You guys have plenty.
No, we'll take anybody. We're Carbon.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. Coach, let's take a look at the timeline that you guys have established for this summer. First off is the Ute and Shoot. That's coming up on June 3rd. Not too far off. You'll take 25 juniors and seniors, but you'll also throw in a few sophomores with this group as well.
Yeah, we will. And the nice thing about that is we don't, you know, colleges are looking for players at that point, and so it's a recruiting tool for a college. But we go there looking at, okay, what's going to be viable for our offense? We know that we have 6 good passing plays right now. Are there any more that we can add? And we're going to see different defenses throughout the day from different teams of the same caliber, you know, different 3A teams throughout, you know, the Intermountain region. So you could have teams from Wyoming, you could have teams from Idaho, teams from Nevada, that are all going to be there at the Ute Shoot. And so we can see multiple formations, multiple fronts, defensive fronts and defensive backfields. And so we're going to look at that and say, okay, how's this going to work against cover 3? How's this going to work against cover 2? How's this going to work against man? And so it's beneficial to us. We don't go into it every year expecting to win it. We go in expecting to come out with a viable offense, offense.
And how much can you take from a 7-on-7?
You can take that you have talented kids that can catch the football with no one with pads on the other side, and it is what it is. I mean, it's a good opportunity to see your kids actually running proper routes, doing those type of things. You can't take any hitting away from it, because as soon as you put pads on, that changes a kid. You might have a mild-mannered kid in a 7-on-7 who might be afraid to go across the middle because he might get hit by someone who's not wearing pads. But when they have pads on, they're kamikaze. And, you know, we love that. And it gives you an idea of where you're going to be. I'm not completely sold on 7-on-7s, but the kids like it. A lot of colleges look at it. And so we go do it.
It's football.
It's football.
At the end of the day, yeah.
At the end of the day, it's out throwing a pass with one of your friends.
Right, yeah. Coach, I know you guys are going to be active with the Mike Ballard Memorial Golf Tournament. That's coming up June 24th. I mean, and this is so important, I think, during the offseason. These kids get out, and they give a little back to the community.
Yeah, we try to. We're going to be involved with the Mike Ballard Memorial. We may have a hole, but we're also going to be carrying bags to golf carts and things like that. We're going to do some cleanup. Also, you know, we're going to get involved with Energy Days again. we loved the opportunity that we had with Energy Days working with the coal shoveling competition, and so we're going to put our kids back to work there. We've got Nate Olson, who's looking at an NFL scholarship. There's an NFL program that does scholarships right here. He's got some community service that he's going to have to do throughout the year, and so we're going to give him opportunities to support this community and help this community support him as well in what he's doing.
Maybe hard-pressed to find a more intriguing athlete going into the football season than Nate Olson.
Yeah, he's going to be a dual threat for us this year. We're going to have him on offense, and we're going to have him on defense both. So, I mean, he's going to be one tired boy at the end of the season. But, you know, we're looking at exploiting some of the strengths that he has, and that's going to be huge for us. You know, Ashton Larson is going to do a fantastic job at running back for us as well. I think between those two, if they can stay healthy, I think we have, you know, both of them could be 1,000-yard rushers.
Let's talk about July. Camp Carbon is really not that far off. Less than two months,
yeah. We'll get started on the 13th of July. We'll go through all of the summer precautionary stuff that the state tells you have to do, you know, that get acclimatized, you know, wear your helmet one day, wear your shoulder pads the next day, get through all that stuff. And then that will go through Saturday, and then Monday we'll do the same thing. And Tuesday we're actually going to load all of our boys up, and we're going to go down to Fillmore and go to the Millard camp. We're going to throw our boys in tents for a few days and just concentrate a lot on football.
Kind of take a page out of the Bear Bryant book, right? They're going to rough it for a night.
They might have to rough it for a night. You know, we'll have a pair of chaperones that will be down there in a few campers, but we're going to throw the boys out in tents and say, you know, let's just concentrate on football for a time period, and then we'll be good. It'll be good to get out of the community a little bit and concentrate on football. You know, we love this community. We love being able to bounce around. We've been out to East Carbon for a few practices. We've been over to Helper for a few practices and then a few here in town. And, you know, we need to get the boys out of town a little bit and just have them concentrate solely on football.
Now, once we get past July, obviously, we're set for the season. However, one date I did forget to mention, you guys have a Manti camp in June as well.
Yeah, they do a really nice 7-on-7 camp over in Manti. They'll invite probably 20 teams within the 3A, you know, kind of comparable teams to what we are right now. And they'll do 7-on-7. They've got a lineman challenge that they'll do where they'll do some strength stuff. They'll do some teamwork stuff with the linemen. And then they give us a nice Hawaiian dinner, so you can't beat that. If you're going to get some good Hawaiian food while you're there, you got to go take advantage of that.
Sure, absolutely. Between now and I guess we could say June, Coach, what's the biggest emphasis for you as a head coach?
Well, we're looking right now to get kids out for some of our 7-on-7 stuff and our lifting. We'll be doing 7-on-7 Wednesday nights at 6:30. And then we'll also do 7-on-7 again Saturday mornings at 6:30 a.m. And, you know, our goal is to get fifth graders through seniors out to those 7-on-7s so that we can find a kid, a fifth grader, and develop him as a quarterback. So, you know, or find a great wide receiver in the fifth grade. If it's fun watching those fifth graders play and seeing a pass getting thrown out there, an actual catch and a nice run for yardage. So we're definitely looking at trying to get all of those kids out running our same system and inviting their coaches out too. So we want to invite the junior high coaches out to come out to those 7-on-7s and work with their boys and start bringing them together so we can have an effective team at the high school.
I know that if there's any parents or any kids out there who have any questions, your door is always open. I mean, you actually welcome it.
I do, yeah. You know, anytime you contact the high school, they can get a hold of me, and I'll either give you a call right back or send you an email or do whatever we have to do to get your boys or your daughters involved. We don't discriminate. Well, we want everyone to be successful at the craft. We want everyone to be good football players. We want them to be good people. And so hopefully we're giving them a little bit of that within this community. You know, football is one of those things where it's a very violent game. But it's played by nice guys, and it can be played by nice guys. And so we want anyone who's willing to come out, put forth effort, and show us that they want to be part of a team, and we'd love to have them.
Coach, it's a pleasure to always talk to you. I appreciate you coming down to the station today, and hopefully we'll talk again during summer workouts.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. We just encourage y'all to send out your boys or your daughters, and on Wednesday nights at 6:30 and 6:30 on Saturday mornings. We'd love to work with them, love to see if we can develop some good football talent. You know, we've had a few players from here that have gone on to play college ball. It's not like we're in a drought for players playing beyond high school. We would like to have more, and you know, we're pushing for all of these kids to find football scholarships, and that's the beauty of it. Is there's so many schools out there that offer football scholarships. There's, you know, you have 52, 53 guys on a football team. You only have 8 or 9 on a basketball team. You only have 9 or 10 on a baseball team. And so, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for kids to get football scholarships, and we're hoping that we can accommodate some of those schools by the talent that we send out of Carbon County.
Coach, always fun. We'll talk again real soon. Thank you.
All right, appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Again, that's Carbon Dental football coach Josh Huntsman talking about the off-season workouts. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. Plus, we'll give you a rundown of the NASCAR race this past Saturday. It was the All-Star race. And we'll talk some NBA basketball as well. It's coming up here on this Monday edition of the show.
Hi, this is Mark Holyoke, CEO of Castleview Hospital. I'd like to take a moment and congratulate the staff at the hospital for their hard work, dedication, and tireless commitment in helping earn a ranking in the top 100 rural hospitals in America. The measures that they have helped implement have resulted in better communication, increased specialty certifications, and implementation of infection prevention measures. I am very proud of this recognition, but I am even more proud of our outstanding staff who have readily embraced our approach to quality.
Emory Telecom's new eFiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emory Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with eFiber. Let Emory Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
We are live from the Monster Energy NASCAR All-Star Race from the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Kyle Busch already trying to get to the bottom before Larson does. His car washes up the banking, opens the door for Kevin Harvick down to the inside.
Stage one is complete. Kyle Larson is the winner.
Larson dominated in stage number one. He will dominate and win stage two.
Jimmy climbs the banking off turn number four, tries to draw even with Blaney. He is fair and will blow by. Blaney trying to hang on downstairs in turn one.
Kurt Busch or Kevin Harvick, a pair of Stewart Haas Fords are blocking the Ganassi Chevrolet side by side. Harvick to the inside of Kurt Busch.
Picked up a lot of ground, but nobody could chase down Jimmy Johnson. He will win stage three.
And the door has been opened for Kyle Busch, who grabs the lead.
A perfect combination of strategy and a fast race car. Looks like it's going to pay off for Kyle Busch tonight.
Kyle Busch comes to the line. He will win the 33rd edition of the All-Star Race.
It's time for a NASCAR Monster Energy Cup racing update. And Saturday on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, Kyle Busch took control of the Monster Energy All-Star Race in the final restart with 10 laps left. And then he motored away to a 1.2-second victory, his first in the Energy Cup NASCAR Series at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Busch powered his number 18 car past Brad Keselowski on the final restart as the field roared toward turn one. Through the first two corners, he cleared not only Keselowski, but also Jimmy Johnson, who had restarted second on the outside to gain the race lead in clean air. Kyle Larson finished second behind Busch, while Jimmy Johnson finished in third. Following the race, Busch talked about finally getting a victory at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot, you know, first of all, to finally win at Charlotte, for one, and then to win the All-Star race. It's an exciting race, and this race was kind of born off of exciting events that were in the race and bold moves and things like that, and we did one of those tonight to win the race. And so, you know, thirdly, taking home $1 million, that's not such a bad payday. So I know Joe gets to keep most of it, so... you know, that's always good for the owner, but more importantly, just to get the team into victory lane here finally. And my guys have been with me for a long, long time, and I'm sure they feel the same goose egg that I do, and it's extra special to finally get rid of that. But, man, just a good night for us overall.
Though he finished second place, Kyle Larson was not satisfied with his team's performance. He talked about finishing second overall.
We had a dominant car all race. We just, you know, initially, I thought our pit crew struggled that last stop, but our jack post on the right side broke off
at some point throughout the race, so the Jackman had to make a couple more pumps to get the car up, and it just slowed the stop down enough that we got beat off pit road by three cars. So that was kind of the difference in the race for us. And you know, had a lot of speed, restarted fifth, and was able to get by Jimmy there that last lap and get to second. So you know, thought we had a great shot in the all-star race, but didn't work out that way.
Third place finisher Jimmy Johnson also talked about his team's performance.
Yeah, competitive night for us. You know, when the race first started, maybe it seemed like there was a little less grip, and then as the sun continued to go down, the track picked up some grip. We never really ran long enough to try the high lane and make up any time on it, but I felt like the racing got better as the night went on. Our car was performing well. It was fun with the strategy and putting those softs on and knowing I could drive like a maniac for a handful of laps. And that put us in a good position in segment two, and then we won segment three. And then I really felt like we were in a great situation, even though I didn't have control that final restart.
We take a look at the current NASCAR Monster Energy Cup racing standings. Martin Truex Jr. is in first place with 431 points. He has two wins and three top five finishes. Right behind him is Brad Keselowski, followed by Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Larson, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. 6th through 10 is Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman, Chase Elliott, Jamie McMurray, and Kevin Harvick. 11 through 16, it's Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Clint Bowyer, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, and Trevor Bayne. Casey Kane, Matt Kenseth, and Daniel Suarez are on the outside looking in. The NASCAR season will continue this Sunday with the Coca-Cola 600. It'll begin at 4 p.m. right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. This race is also at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
We are back from commercial break, and it all comes down to this frame. A man-child with a dream to top a bowling giant. If he strikes, he's the tour champion. He's got one foot in the frying pan and one in the pressure cooker. Believe me, as a former bowler, I know that right about now, your bladder feels like an about-to-erupt volcano.
Gateway Lanes on Main Street and Helper.
This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskerings on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. Dagger! John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. We'll move back over, talk NBA basketball. Tonight, we get the Warriors and the Spurs, Game 4. Now, we know that David Lee will not play, so there's another injury for the San Antonio Spurs. Greg Popovich was asked if Kawhi Leonard would play. He said it wouldn't make much sense. Quote, if he's unable to play yesterday, I think there's going to be a I don't think there's going to be a miraculous healing by tomorrow. That was yesterday. So it appears that Kawhi is doubtful for tonight as well. It's somewhat sad because I thought that this had the intangibles, the ingredients of being a really good Western Conference final series at the beginning of the playoffs. And here's the sad part when looking at it. In hindsight, Houston would have provided a better challenge for Golden State.
Yes, they would have. Houston would have been a better matchup, like you said, because they get up and run just like the Warriors, and they can shoot the three-point ball, but they don't play a lot of defense. And if Kawhi if San Antonio somehow can manage to hold that 25-point lead going into the third and not give up that 18-0 run, Kawhi's not in the game, and they win game one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of what-ifs.
There is. There's a lot of what-ifs. But, again, I agree with you. I mean, there's some things in this series that I was really looking forward to. Let's be honest. At the beginning of the year, or at the beginning of the series, I don't think anyone really thought that a team built around Patty Mills, Jonathan Simmons, Kyle Anderson, that team.
There's nothing about LaMarcus Aldridge's game that I like right now.
No,
there's
nothing.
There's nothing.
No, Aldridge was one of those sought-after free agents. Just 2 years ago, he had four or five teams that were really hot after him. Remember, he played a pivotal role in Portland knocking off Houston the year that Damian Lillard hit that game-winning shot. A lot of that was based on the fact that LaMarcus Aldridge had played great in that series. Remember, we were comparing LaMarcus Aldridge and Dwight Howard at that particular time. And then Aldridge goes into free agency, and all these teams had interest in him because he looked like a game changer, and he has been very average in this series. In fact, Game 3, 7 of 17, 18 points, 5 rebounds. That's just not good. He's not played well in this series, and I don't know if it's anything that Golden State has done. He just doesn't look like he has been into it. On the flip side, you've had Pau Gasol coming off the bench. Gasol has outplayed Aldridge in bench numbers compared to starter numbers.
Yeah, Gasol off the bench is a good move, and it provides that energy. I think he's more rested than starting the game. And yeah, Pau's been better than LaMarcus, and that can't be the point for San Antonio if they were going to try to win the series. Pau couldn't be better than LaMarcus.
Okay, so shoot me straight on this one. There's talk at the end of the year of teams tanking, and Greg Popovich is a coach that is known for resting players. That's happened. He's been criticized for it. You know, there was the whole talk of LeBron saying that people only complain when he rests. It's not a big deal when other teams do it. We had that conversation back this past regular season. Would you play Kawhi Leonard tonight, or do you believe that Greg Popovich has waved the white flag? Now, if he has, is it right?
I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't risk any more injury to that ankle. Remember, Grant Hill, he played in that playoff game in, what, 95, and he had a bad ankle, and it ruined his career. He had bad feet, so I wouldn't take that risk. No, the series is over.
So it's okay. If you're a Spurs fan, you're okay with Greg Popovich waving the white flag here. You're all right with it.
If I'm a Spurs fan, no, but in the long run, I know it's more beneficial.
Okay, well, and again, if San Antonio loses tonight, we'll be talking about the Spurs and where they go from here. And again, it feels like every year since we've started this show, every year we talk about it being the end of the San Antonio Spurs. Like, it's a 15-year dynasty, and it's fair to call it a dynasty because they have been that competitive for that long of a time frame. So it's fair to call it a dynasty at this point. Do you have to make major changes to this team?
I think you do, and there's one move that they probably going to look at, and that might be trading LaMarcus Aldridge.
Well, I think his trade stock's probably at an all-time low. I'll tell you one guy that would probably be beneficial to move. It's Tony Parker.
Yep.
And he's due to make another $15 million next season.
And Manu, he's going to come back. He played good. He's played good.
He's played okay. $14 million is what he's due next year.
He's not going to get that. Maybe half, seven. But Tony Parker, I mean, Pau has another year left, doesn't he?
Powell has another. It's a player option, I believe, next season at $16 million, which he would probably exercise. Yeah, I don't think it's okay. I don't think it's okay to quit. I think if Kawhi Leonard can play, he needs to play. I don't know that he can. I have no idea if he can or can't play. You get paid to play. On top of that, there's no reason to rest players throughout the regular season if you are going to wave the white flag in the postseason. Now, again, I think this series is over tonight. Regardless if Kawhi Leonard plays or not,
yeah.
I think Golden State wins this series tonight. They sweep, they move on, and they probably get an extended rest based on the fact that Cleveland still has to win two games, and that's probably good for the Warriors at this point in time. But with that being said, if Leonard can play, he needs to play. And again, last night, I didn't give Boston any chance without Isaiah Thomas of winning that game. I know Tim Legler made the comment that Boston may match up better with Cleveland if Isaiah Thomas doesn't play, and I laughed at that notion. It proved to be true last night because Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart were great. But in Game 3, for as competitive as San Antonio was throughout splurts of that game, Golden State scored 35 on him in the second quarter, scored 36 on him in the third quarter. That happens in one quarter tonight. This game is over.
Yep.
So it really is a tough situation. You can't roll Kawhi out if he's at all if he's not, if he's nowhere near 80%, he can't play in this game. I don't know if you can preserve a player, though. Again, when your back is up against the ropes, it's tricky because Popovich has set that tone and that precedent for benching players to rest them for the postseason. And according to that interview, we were just reading some clips from it, to me it sounds like he's given up.
He's given up. I mean, he knows it's over, so he's not going to rush Kawhi out there because he knows it's over. Back to your point with the Celtics, the ball moves better when Isaiah's out.
It's different. It's a different team.
The ball movement's more crisp.
It's a different team, and you have Marcus Smart taking shots that he doesn't normally take when Isaiah Thomas is out on the floor. I thought the same thing for Avery Bradley. We saw him attack the rim a couple of times last night. Defensively, I don't think Boston was good. But you see, it's all about matchups, specifically at this point in time of the season. And so I'm curious to see what Boston does game four, how Tyronn Lue and Cleveland, how they're able to make adjustments without Isaiah Thomas out there in game four. Now, Boston wins that game, we got a series on our hands. I don't think they win it, but I think we got a series on our hands if they can somehow find a way to get game four. Tonight, it's over. And again, it is sad because going into the playoffs, I really anticipated this series, and I thought that San Antonio had a legitimate chance to beat Golden State based off the idea that you can never count San Antonio out.
No, they're just gritty, and that's what the Spurs do, is find ways to win, and then their superstar goes down.
But I will say this, there's no way a lineup consisting of Kyle Anderson, Jonathan Simmons, Danny Green, Patty Mills, and LaMarcus Aldridge, that lineup can't contend with Golden State. There's no way.
Yeah, that's gross what you just read.
it's insane. And it's sad because, again, for as much of a doubter as I was in Houston all year long, Houston would have given us a better series.
It would have been a lot of fun, yeah.
Might have been over in four. Might have gone six.
It would have been competitive.
But it would have been competitive, and it would have been entertaining basketball, where up until last night, we have not had a competitive game in the NBA Conference Finals this year. I mean, games one and two in the Cleveland series were boring. They were horrendous. I can't believe how bad Boston was in game two. And then you look at games one, two, and three for San Antonio and Golden State. I know Golden State put together a monumental comeback, but that's bad basketball on behalf of San Antonio. To allow a team to sneak back in down 23, that's bad basketball. So we've had a story of bad basketball throughout the conference finals. And tonight, I think the West ends. Golden State be the first team since the Lakers in 2001 to march all the way through the Western Conference playoffs without a loss, if I remember correctly. I don't think it's been done since the Lakers did it in 01.
And then the Lakers, what, in 88 did it? 89?
88, 89, they won 13 in a row, which Cleveland actually tied that streak for most playoff wins. Could have broken it last night, but with that loss, that record tied. Lakers-Cavs.
At least we get game six in Nashville tonight.
I haven't talked about hockey all year long on
this
show.
The Predators going to win tonight. It'll be the first time ever that they made the Stanley Cup Finals.
You know what, though? For some of the sports writers that I talk to and that we have on the show, a lot of them have told me that for every bit of boring that the NBA playoffs has been, the Stanley Cup playoffs have been that entertaining.
Yeah, besides last night when the hockey game was a blowout, 7-0 in favor of Pittsburgh, and the basketball game was actually better. But yeah, the hockey playoffs have been awesome this year.
And the NBA playoffs have been bad. Like, they've been monumentally bad this season. Outside of the Jazz-Clipper series was fantastic.
It was fun.
That was a really good, entertaining series. I thought that Cleveland-Toronto would be a great series based on the fact that Toronto has two All-Stars in the backcourt, and they add Serge Ibaka, a physical defender up front. I thought that potentially could have been a good series. Boston-Washington was a fun series. I don't know if it was good. You had the home team win each game, and they won each game fairly convincingly outside of Game 6. I don't. The NBA playoffs have not been good. The Jazz and the Clippers, probably the most compelling series so far this year.
That was the best series. The other ones have not been good. Not been entertained by it.
No, it's been a bad year for the NBA playoffs. We got a break once again. We'll come back, put the final touches on the show right after this.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
Every great team starts with a great coach. and we at Jake Miller Financial Services want to be your financial coaches. It is our mission to help clients understand their financial lives and achieve their financial dreams. Let our experience and knowledge guide you through the game of life as we provide you with only the highest quality of information and services to help you reach your financial goals. Call us for an appointment today at 637-5433. With Jake Miller Financial Services, it's a beautiful retirement for the win.
Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price. Marty's Pawn and Arcade features the finest in sports memorabilia, autographed items, collectible art, and so much more. No matter what sideline you're on, they'll have your favorite team's collectibles. No team is out of market at Marty's Pawn and Arcade. From past legends to current stars, Marty's Pawn has the sports memorabilia you're looking for. That's Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price.
Whether you're with coworkers, family, or friends, going to lunch is always a battle between appetites.
Where should we go?
You decide. I always decide.
On and on until everyone's starving. Big Mo's Eatery is always the right answer for lunch, no matter the argument. Big Mo's salads are refreshing and full of flavor. Order a juicy half-pound burger and fresh-cut fries, and you'll be full all day. For the indecisive, try a turkey bacon avocado or savory French dip. Win the lunch spot battle every time by choosing Big Mo's Eatery in Price.
Does Bigfoot really exist? What's that thing flying in the night sky? What's standing beside my bed at night? Can people communicate with the dead? What comes after life? My Side of the Universe with Todd Wilcox. Brought to you by Tractor Supply. Saturdays at 7 p.m. And Coast to Coast with George Norrie. 7 days a week at 11 p.m. On KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskery. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Back to the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Again tonight, we get Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Golden State looking to close out San Antonio. Tomorrow, we get Game 5 in the NBA, or excuse me, Game 4 between Cleveland and Boston. And it's not a closeout game, believe it or not. If necessary, we'd get San Antonio and Golden State on Wednesday. I want to thank Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbondale football team for taking out the time to join the show. Throughout the remainder of the week, we're going to wrap up the 2017 spring sports season. And with that, we start gearing up for some of the fall sports. And again, football's the big one. Coach Huntsman was talking about the offseason workouts and the timeline established for those interested in playing football for Carbon High School. On tomorrow's show, we'll talk some more baseball. Until then, be safe. We are out.